Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
This year, University of Otago celebrates its 150th anniversary, bringing together students, staff, alumni and the wider Dunedin community for a busy programme of events. On Daring to be Wise, we talk with people from all corners of the university community. Inspirational stories from educators, administrators and those whose time at Otago made a lasting impression. Welcome to Daring to be Wise.
Well, the connections between the University of Otago and the Dunedin Symphony Orchestra, as it is now known, of course, go right back to the start of the orchestra, 1966. In this year of 150th celebrations, the orchestra will play an important role, as indeed it does every year, through performance, composition and conducting opportunities for university educators and students. Here to talk more about that relationship is the Dunedin Symphony Orchestra General Manager, Philippa Harris. Philippa, thanks for joining us today. Good to have you here.
Hello.
Tell us more about what you know about those very earliest days of the orchestra.
Yes, well, the astonishing thing is that the university was in on the formation of the orchestra right at the start, and this was 1966, which is 52 years ago now, 53. The orchestra was providing a few concerts, and it was mainly providing accompaniment for opera and choral performances. But the players weren't played anything really, so it was very much a part-time organization. But in 1965, the idea of a part-time professional orchestra was mooted, and the university joined with the Arts Council and the Broadcasting Corporation to provide annual grants for the orchestra. It was really these organizations that helped get the orchestra off the ground. And so the orchestra's first concert was in 1966 in February. It was a huge concert in the town hall, and it really set the orchestra going for the next 50 or so years until today. So really the ties between the university and the orchestra have been fundamental right from the very start, and so it's remained.
That university support came with a proviso, didn't it, in terms of content?
Yes, a rather cute one. It's said that the grant was contingent on one of the concerts containing works that were, quote, of particular interest to students, unquote.
Do you know anything about how that manifested?
I must find out. I don't know.
To your knowledge, has that relationship remained unbroken since?
I think so. I think there's always been a close connection between the, particularly the music department, of course, the lecturers there and the students. It's a symbiotic relationship, really, because we offer opportunities that the lecturers and the students at the university need as part of their careers. And having the input of those people, of course, enriches the orchestra so much in a way that I think is unique in the country. I think the connection between the two is quite astonishing.
It's a strong example of the university's collaboration with its community.
Absolutely.
And its community of musicians in this case.
Yes, yes.
Talk a little bit more about that symbiosis and how it actually manifests today.
Sure. I've just got some examples here of the current relationships that we have. For example, we play a lot of music that's composed by staff and students at the university. This year, for example, we're performing, and this is just an example, it happens quite, you know, more or less every year. We're performing two works. One is by Peter Adams, and it's called Horiawa. And the second work is by Anthony Ritchie, and that's called From the Southern Marches. And that's an astonishing work because it describes the history of Otago from way back when to the current day and the people and the events that have shaped Otago. And the convenient thing about this particular work is not only are we featuring Anthony Ritchie, but it requires four soloists, and three of those are going to be graduates of the university, Annalise, Emma Fraser, and Joel Amosa. So they gave us an opportunity to really showcase the composing and performing talents of the university. The university staff are also soloists in other concerts. We have Tessa Peterson, who's violin lecturer there, and Helene Duplessis, who's cello lecturer. Those two are both soloists. And the two piano lecturers there, Terence Dennis and Tom McGrath, they're also soloists in our series. So you can see we're having good fun this year featuring the very extraordinary talent that the university's got. So I've talked about them being composers and then performers. We also have Peter Adams as conductor. So we're seeing many facets of it. There are lots of students who are in the orchestra, and this is particularly important for them to gain orchestral experience. We have some really top-class conductors and soloists, and we obviously have a series of broad range of orchestral music. And so these students can come into the orchestra and get this experience of working with the conductors and the soloists and this broad range of repertoire. And this sets those students up in a quite unusual way for their further careers. And I say it's unusual because I don't think that it's that easy for students in other centres to join the orchestras in those centres. Those centres tend to be far more full-time and have established positions, whereas we work so closely with the university that we can offer those opportunities to the students.
It's probably not the correct way to describe it, but it's kind of a revolving door. You've got this fresh input every year potentially into the orchestra.
Yes, it's not quite that turnover. Students are here often for 4 years or more. So it is more long-lasting than that, and it's not a huge percentage of the orchestra, but there is a component of the orchestra that is refreshed constantly, and I think it keeps the more permanent members on their toes the whole time.
Mm. So it's fair to say the orchestra would look different if this were not a university town of its type.
Absolutely. Just to carry on with what the students and the experience they get, because the orchestra also accompanies ballet and choir and opera, and we also do educational projects. So they get the full range of community involvement that way as well.
Mm. Tell us more about the educational projects.
That the orchestra does. Mm. We have a range. We try to cover most of the ground for people who are learning instruments. We have something called the DSO Academy, and this is for youngsters, really, who are between grades 3 and 6, if you know the grade system. And we have, it's a two-term regular workshop thing, but our tutors, some of them are students, so they're in a tutor position there. The next sort of project that we have is called Play with the Orchestra, and this is a workshop where student performers sit next to a Dunedin Symphony Orchestra player in a rehearsal with one of our conductors. And so it's a workshop on how to get a work up to speed. And it's quite a pressure cooker situation, because the development of those student players in that particular session is quite remarkable. And I think they come away with a sense of huge achievement. Of course, it's a very nice social occasion as well, because you're meeting other players of similar standard and also the Dunedin Symphony Orchestra players. But they come away with a sense of what it's like to be in an orchestra as well. So I think it's a multi-purpose kind of education experience for them. We also offer a scholarship for a performance student at the university. And we also help with providing tutors for instrumental education there. Our flute player Luca Mangi teaches flute. Our oboe player Nick Cornish teaches oboe there. Stephen Cranefield and Emily Sterk are clarinetists. And also working the other way, the lecturers Tessa Peterson and Helene Duplessis are players in the orchestra as well. So there is a very nice interaction going on. So those are really the education projects that we do and the involvement of the students in that. Mm.
So we've talked about the relationship between the university and the orchestra being symbiotic. Of course, also, the good citizens of Dunedin benefit from that relationship too, don't they?
Absolutely. The fact that we have this constantly refreshing component of the orchestra means that our performances, I think, are being constantly refreshed, and we get a better standard as a result. But it means that we can have these top conductors and soloists coming to conduct the orchestra, and I think that really lifts the standard of the orchestra too. The other thing about the university town gown relationship is, to my mind, there is no question that the existence of the university is one of the reasons why the orchestra exists, and this is because of the audience. We have an audience in Dunedin of intelligent, well-educated people who value things like the orchestra. And you wonder if the university wasn't here, whether the orchestra would be as strong as it is.
Is the orchestra settling well into its new home? I call it a new home. It's not all that new now, but how are things in the current premises?
We love it. Yes, we absolutely love it. It's nice and central, and that makes it easy for people to get to, you know, for rehearsals and so on. The acoustics took a bit of work, and we had a lot of support from the people of Dunedin, especially for the acoustic panels that we had to put in, so the reverberation was no longer 4+ seconds. It was down to respectable 1+ second. So the musicians really enjoy rehearsing there. And we also enjoy having visiting performance groups put on performances at our venue. These are steadily increasing, and there's a wide variety of groups that do this. We've got a theatre group coming in next week. We've had music performances, of course. We've had opera. We've had people, community organisations have meetings. So it's, and schools have put things on there, choirs. So we're gradually developing the venue as somewhere that Dunedin community groups know is a really good performance space too.
It is the university's 150th year. There are celebrations through the year. One of the big collaborations will be the Tally Ho concert. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. Of course, we've already done two of them, but we seem to be on a bit of a roll. And so Tally Ho 3 is on the 13th of April. It's coming up quite soon now. It's going to contain the same sort of formula as we've done. Graham Downs has done some absolutely fabulous orchestral arrangements of the songs. There'll be 20+ songs in the concert again. Peter Adams, one of the lecturers at the university, is the conductor for this concert. So there you already have two very strong connections, the music arrangement and the conductor. Two of the graduates, contemporary singer graduates, are soloists, Molly Devine and Matitilani Alo. And, of course, we also have the Dunedin Sound stalwarts, Shane Carter, Martin Phillips, and Graham Downs again, that's right. And then two of the newer generation of what you might call Dunedin Sound singers in their own way, and that's Anthony Tollan and Nadia Reed. So it's quite a lineup, and it's going to be a mixture of some of the favourites of the previous two shows, but then a whole raft of new songs as well. So we're really looking forward to that.
It's a unique concert and an opportunity that, again, we've talked about opportunities that would not otherwise arise. The university's association with that important period in Dunedin music also reflected in its association with this concert. What do the musicians tell you about how they feel about being part of the Tally Ho series?
Oh, they love it. They absolutely love it. And I think that's the nice thing about our musicians is they're not purists in any shape or form. They're very much, they know very much that the orchestra is part of the community. And so many of them are in different community groups and musical groups. I'm talking about different styles, jazz, pop, folk, you name it. They're doing it. And this is just one example of the style of music that they play. And I think they, what we really like is that it brings in a different audience for the orchestra. The orchestra is only what the community makes of it, and we need different groups from the community to come and hear us. We are, after all, funded by central government, local government, trusts, sponsors, and donors as well, as well as our audience members. So, no, we're just, it's an essential part of what we do.
Just finally, Philippa, this year is partly about reflection on the 150 years, and in your case, the relationship since the mid-60s for this orchestra. But it's also an opportunity to look ahead. Tell us about your hopes for the future relationship between the DSO and the university.
I think we've established a really good foundation in terms of the way of working, and I just hope that it goes from strength to strength in the way that it has, offering opportunities for students and lecturers to further their careers and gain some sort of development in their form, because I think that helps strengthen the musical community in Dunedin. And on the other side, the orchestra benefits from that enrichment. I think that's a very precious relationship, and I really hope that it's one that can be nurtured. I know there are challenging times in the music department. They're coming out the other end of all of that. But I think that if they can see their way to keep supporting the orchestral music, especially in their setting in the department, it can only be of benefit to the community as a whole.
Philippa Harris, Dunedin Symphony Orchestra General Manager, thanks so much for joining us. All the very best to you and to the orchestra for your 2019.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Daring to be Wise, celebrating 150 years of the University of Otago. You'll find podcasts of all episodes from this series online at oar.org.nz. To find out more about the University of Otago's 150th anniversary celebrations, visit otago.ac.nz/150.
Take ORFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This program was first broadcast on ORFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.